Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you so much that you love us and that you call us into a relationship with yourself, and that as part of this relationship, you desire to shape us and form us to be people of integrity, people of obedience, people who will listen for your voice. I just pray, Lord, that you would come and that you would speak your words of life through me, that I would stand out of the way, and that you, Holy Spirit, would minister to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Recently, I saw a young boy, less than 10 years old, who had found a dumbbell that had a 5-pound weight on each side of it. And this young boy was trying to curl it. You know, he was trying to lift it from his side all the way up to his shoulder. And he was struggling and straining, and he couldn't do it. And so I said to this young man, I said, you can't start out lifting a weight that's too heavy for you. You need to start lifting lighter weights and then slowly work up to a weight that's as heavy as 10 pounds, right? You can't jump there too quickly. You can't get ahead of yourself. You can't skip the steps in between. Now, this is true also for our spiritual lives. We cannot be used by God in big ways until we have the character qualities in place that God can use and can trust with assignments both large and small. As part of our current study of spiritual gifts, we took some time last weekend during our camping trip retreat at Reverend Lee Hearn's farm to talk about vocation, the unique calling that God has placed on each one of our lives. No matter what our career is, we have a vocation to be the child of God, to be used by Him in unique ways as a light in our dark world. We learned that a vital aspect of living in vocation is learning to be faithful with little, so that we demonstrate the quality of character that will also be faithful with much. This week, we will follow up on what we learned last time by looking at three specific areas in which it is crucial for young people to develop faithfulness with little. These areas are integrity, obedience, and hearing God's voice. As young people who respond positively to God, as He works within you to develop integrity, obedience, and the ability to hear God's voice in seemingly small ways, you will demonstrate the quality of character that God will someday trust with much. Once when I was backpacking across Italy, I found a fruit stand that was selling these large, beautiful peaches. And since fresh peaches are one of my favorite fruits, I bought several of them. And then later that day, I found a faucet, and I decided to wash my peaches before I ate them. And as I was washing them under this flowing water, suddenly several insects, more than an inch long, crawled out of this hole that was near where the stem had once been. This peach I was washing looked delicious on the outside, but on the inside, it was full of insects. It was riddled with holes. It had become a home for these foul-looking creatures. Raise your hand if you hate insects. In my household, I am the one who has to get rid of insects, and I hate that job. This peach was very different on the inside from how it appeared on the outside. When I began to wash the peach, though, very quickly, its inside condition was revealed. Integrity refers to living in such a way that our outward actions match our inward convictions. One great Christian ethicist, who I had the opportunity to hear speak once when I was in seminary, said this about integrity. He said, integrity is living truthfully. Integrity is living truthfully. This means that we outwardly live according to the values that we inwardly affirm. There's a match. There's a correlation there. Joseph, as a young man, provides an excellent example of what it looks like to live as a young person with integrity. And as you know, his brothers became jealous with him. They sold him into slavery. And then Potiphar, the chief of the Pharaoh's guard, bought him. But Joseph was a person of integrity. And because he was, God blessed him and God blessed Potiphar's household, the household of his master. But we then read in Genesis 39, 6 through 9 of his next trial, his next difficulty. And scripture says this, "Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, 'Come to bed with me.' But he refused. 'With me in charge,' he told her, 'my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?'" Joseph knew what was right, and he knew what was wrong. And he chose to live in integrity by living outwardly in a way that matched his inward convictions. He refused to commit adultery. Now, unfortunately, King David provides for us a negative example that reveals the cost of acting without integrity. When he slept with Bathsheba, he knew he was acting sinfully. He knew he was going against God's law, because in the seventh commandment, which God had given the people of Israel many centuries before, God had said, "Do not commit adultery." One commentator believes that David's sexual sin with Bathsheba, a failure of integrity, was a pivotal moment in his leadership that initiated a downward trend from which David never fully recovered. Integrity is so important for our development as Christians that God often tests it repeatedly in the lives of young Christians. We must always strive to live in such a way that our outward actions match our inward convictions. When we do, we will discover that God will vindicate and honor us and entrust us with responsibilities and opportunities to share his truth and love that we never could have imagined. Integrity. The second area that we must learn at a young age to be faithful to God in small things is in the area of obedience. The area of obedience. In 1980, Eugene Peterson published a book on discipleship entitled "A Long Obedience in the Same Direction." I love that title, "A Long Obedience in the Same Direction." In many ways, the title of this book sums up the entire Christian life. It just says so much in so few words. We are called to a life of obedience in which we consistently choose to obey God by living as he wants us to live and doing what he asks us to do. In my personal devotions right now, one of the places I'm reading is the book of Joshua. And I am just so impressed with Joshua as a leader. He was called upon to lead God's people, and he had huge shoes to fill because he was replacing Moses, right? The humblest man ever to walk across the face of the earth. The guy who God would speak to face. Moses was unlike any other leader before him, and Joshua has to fill his shoes. And there's something about Joshua, and that is this. He was obedient. He chose to obey God. When Israel arrived at Jericho, God gave Joshua and the Israelites a specific battle plan. Joshua was to lead the people in marching around the city of Jericho once per day for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, they were to walk around the city 7 times in one day. The trumpets were to blast. The people were to give a loud shout. And then God would cause the walls of Jericho to fall to the ground. What a strange battle plan. How weird. But know this, it wasn't a battle plan at all. It was an obedience plan. God was testing Joshua and the Israelites in this first military engagement after they had crossed the Jordan River. God was testing them to see if they would obey Him, even when obedience is risky. Even when obedience makes them look silly and vulnerable. Even when obedience seems utterly foolish according to human wisdom. God was testing them to see if at the start of this conquest of Canaan, from now through the end, are you going to obey me? Are you going to obey me? Are you going to admit that your victory is not the result of your skill in battle? It's not the result of your strategic vision as a result of your good battle plans or your personal effort? No. Your success, Joshua and the Israelites, depends entirely upon the blessing that I will give you as you obey me, God was saying. They were entirely dependent upon God's instruction and leading. Now, those of you who have read the book of Joshua, you know that that every man in the entire army of Israel obeyed, except for one guy. And even though every person in Israel obeyed except for one person, God brought disaster upon the Israelites because of this disobedience of one man. The one man's name was Achan. And when they were capturing the city of Jericho, we read that he coveted a beautiful robe from Babylonia, and he kept it along with silver and gold from the city. Because of one man's disobedience, God turned against Israel and allowed His own people to be defeated by the very small town of Ai. And it was only when Joshua and the Israelites rid their camp of these forbidden objects and punished the offender that God turned back to them with His favor and blessing. Jeremiah 7:23, which Jonathan read a few minutes ago, expresses the promise of obedience that God gives again and again in various forms throughout Scripture. And that promise is this. Obey me, God says, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in all the ways I command you, that it may go well with you. In other words, God commands us to obey Him so we can experience His blessing and the high honor of being used by Him in our generation. When the GPS was first invented, I was very skeptical. Why would I want a little device that would order me around when I am perfectly capable of sitting down with a map, plotting my own course, and finding my own way through the streets? I just didn't buy it. I just didn't know what the use of such a thing was. And then one day I was invited to attend a wedding in Boston, a city that I've always struggled navigating. Raise your hand if you have trouble just finding your way through the city of Boston. And so someone lent me their GPS. I took it along for the trip. This time, rather than becoming hopelessly lost like usual, the GPS provided crystal clear directions, utilizing back roads and even alleyways to get me to my destinations on time. I was instantly won over. I now love my GPS. In fact, I think that there are very few recent inventions in human history that are as wonderful as the GPS device. So each of our cars has one. But a GPS only helps me when I follow its instructions. You see, both the GPS and I have the same destination in mind, right? We're trying to get to the same place. But I will never get there if I keep ignoring the GPS. I need to listen to it if I want to get to where I want to go. The same is true of obedience. Most of us here want a life that is blessed by God and used by God in our generation. But the only way that we will ever get there is along the path of obedience, listening to God's voice and then obeying Him. God knows the way, but we must be willing to follow His leading and His direction. As God tested Joshua and the Israelites in the area of obedience at the beginning of their military campaign in the land of Canaan, so too God will especially test His young leaders, those of us as young Christians, in the area of obedience. He seeks to establish obedience in our lives and to prepare us to be people who are committed to following Him step by step throughout the entire course of our lives. Remember from last week that when we are faithful in little, we are demonstrating that we have the type of character that will also be faithful in much. And so I challenge you, obey God in the little things and view every opportunity for obedience as a moment in which God is training you and preparing you for obedience in big things. Although we could talk about many other areas, this morning we will look at one more way that God calls us, especially as young people, to be faithful to Him in small ways. And that is in the area of hearing His voice. In John 10:27, Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Learning to recognize and follow God's voice is a very important part of being God's child. I once met a young person, though, who told me, "I don't know how to hear God's voice." And so I sat down with them and I asked them, "Well, how are your personal devotions going? Those times where you seek the Lord through prayer and Bible reading." This young person then looked at me blankly and said, "They're non-existent. I never spend time with God." Well, that's the problem, right? That's the problem. The only way that I will get to know a friend better is by spending time with him and hearing what he has to say. And the only way that we will ever get to know God is by spending time with Him in prayer and by studying Scripture. And you know, I've met very young people in elementary school who've chosen to seek God every day, reading the Bible, praying, who experience God, who hear God and sense God speaking to them, correcting them, encouraging them, reminding them of God's love. So you can never be too young or too old to develop this ability of hearing God's voice, but we only develop it through spending time with God and allowing Him to speak to us. The prophet Samuel provides an example of someone who learned to hear and obey God's voice at a very young age. In 1 Samuel 3, we find him serving as a young boy in the house of God. Three times God calls out to Samuel in the middle of the night, "Samuel, Samuel." Each time, though, Samuel thought that it was the priest Eli who had called out to him. And so Samuel got up, he runs to Eli, and he says, "Here I am." After the third time, Eli realizes that the Lord is calling out to Samuel, and so Eli instructs him, "Next time, go lie down, and if he calls to you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Finally, God calls out to Samuel a fourth time, and Samuel responds as Eli instructed him, and God gives to Samuel his first prophetic message. I love this story because it's about a young man who has no idea how to hear God's voice, but it's about him learning how. And I also love it because we see that God is the one who takes the initiative in our lives to speak to us. But we have to respond like Samuel did. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Because Samuel responds positively to this lesson, eventually he becomes a great prophet who is used by God in his generation to anoint both King Saul and King David. When we are young in our faith, we must allow God to train our hearts to recognize His voice when He speaks to us through His Word, through prayer, and through wise counsel. As you know, we live in a world filled with many different voices, leading us this way and that, calling us to do this and that. We need to be people who recognize God's voice and allow God to guide our steps. Otherwise, we will go astray. We are sheep that must walk closely behind our good shepherd who guides us every step of the way as we allow him to. Sometimes when watching a football or a baseball game, you will hear the announcer praise a player for their consistency in performing the basic skills, the fundamentals of the game. These basic skills, though, are often taught in every youth league in the entire country. These are not mysteries. These fundamentals are taught to every young person first learning the sport. Yet consistency in using them is what separates the greatest professional players from all the others. And in the Christian life, there are a number of basics, a number of fundamentals that God calls us to demonstrate with consistency. Among them are integrity, obedience, and a willingness to listen to God's voice. This morning, I challenge you to view each day of your life as an opportunity to further develop these basics, these fundamentals of the Christian life. Each day is a chance for you to grow in your integrity, in your obedience, and in your willingness to listen for the voice of God. And as you demonstrate these fundamentals of the game, so to speak, in even small ways, God will prepare you to become someone that he can use, that he can depend upon, to demonstrate integrity, obedience, and a listening heart in big ways. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you so much that you're in the business of shaping us and developing us to become people that you can use more and more in our generation. And Lord, I thank you for all the young leaders that are here today, leaders that you are developing and shaping and calling to follow you, to be people of integrity, people of obedience, people who have a heart that listens for your voice. Lord, I ask you to shape us, to implant, to radically form us in these ways so that we can be led by you step by step and used in amazing ways in our generation. We pray this, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.